We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Feel like snitching? Give us a call at 913-662-1270. Then tune in to The Snitch Line every Thursday at 1:15 on Cody and Gold.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Nick Schwert with you. Reminder, at 2 o'clock, we'll hand things off to Vern. Vern's on deck show. The Royals have a doubleheader today, taking on the Cleveland Indians, a 3:10 first pitch. Vern's on deck show at 2 o'clock. That'll at least be game one. Brady Singer on the bump. He's been reinstated from the IL. Then later, the second game of the doubleheader will be at 5:10 or so. Daniel Lynch gets the nod for the Royals. So just a heads up on that. Coming your way 1 hour from now as we continue to look at the Chiefs and the Ravens, of course, from last night in Baltimore. And the more pressing concern for what might actually be a long-term concern, of course, is the defense. We can talk about the fumble for Clyde or the bad mistake and decision by Mahomes, but really what is problematic for this next 15-plus weeks of the season, potentially we all know what that is. That's the defense. In particular, it's the rush defense that allowed 251 yards yesterday to Lamar Jackson and company, and then if you combine it with the Cleveland game, it's over 400 yards. They are, statistically, the worst rushing defense in football. Now, I don't think they're going to be, Cody, the worst rushing defense in football all season long. Yes, I feel very confident. If we want to put a spin wheel on that one, I will do
that. I don't
want to
take
the
other side because that means I got to take one through. But like, I think it'd be fair that if they finish dead last, just you spin and I don't have to take the other side.
That's fine. Okay, I'll do that. That's fine. They're not going to be the when we get another 15 weeks in and the regular season's over.
You're going to be sweating if they're 28th at one point this year.
Chiefs,
I know that.
The Chiefs aren't going to have the worst rushing defense all year. No, I don't believe that's the case. Now, for them to even get to 20 is going to take some work. I'll acknowledge that, but that's their biggest problem right now. The entire defensive line in rush defense, and we can get to the pressure stuff as well. But the defense has been atrocious the first 2 weeks.
No, it's a massive real problem. Like when Kyle Brandt was just on and he said, "I do actually worry about the Chiefs for real." The reason why is defensively, because I know you could be like, oh, you know, the defense isn't going to be so bad that it's going to stop them from going to a Super Bowl, but it could. I don't think it will yet, but it can. Of course it can. It stopped them from going to the Super Bowl in 2018. And you could be like, well, Patrick Mahomes was younger and they weren't all together as a team yet. So, you know, is that the same? And you're like, well, I mean, yes, because Patrick Mahomes that year had 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. And that was not good enough to get them past the hump. And now they've lost to a team that they weren't supposed to lose to. And more importantly, you know, they lost to an opponent that they had controlled for the entire time of those two battles between those teams. It's not the end of the world. It's not that they can't fix some certain things. And certainly red zone defense would be tip of the tongue for things you can improve immediately. And they've never seemingly been good at stopping the run. And it's never seemingly made a difference. They were 19th last year. It didn't stop them from getting to the Super Bowl. It wasn't the reason they lost the Super Bowl, et cetera.
And that's the thing. They don't need to be a top 10 rushing defense or a top 15. Can they get back to just being one of the 10 worst rush defenses? Like right now, they're dead last, and it's not even like close at this point. Two games
they're
in,
gonna have 200 yards per game.
There is, I think it's the Seahawks, and there's like 70 yards still in between the Chiefs and the Seahawks. And the Seahawks rush defense has been terrible. Like it's not as if the Chiefs are, oh, they're 15 yards away from being 25th. No.
Green Bay is allowing 171 after one game. Seattle's the next closest at 162. They are allowing 202 yards per game so far.
Yeah, I mean that's insane. If you're just looking at the gap. And right now, I think it's fair to wonder on the Jaron Reed portion of this, the impact he was going to have. I think he's allowing them, of course, to have Chris Jones on the outside. But Jaron Reed, Derek Nnadi, for that matter, Colin Saunders, you name it, Turk Warren, we can go down the line. None of those guys have been able to not only help truly in the rushing attack, But also, it's not as if, well, they're struggling against the run and they're getting some push up front in the middle on passing downs. That's also not happening, and that's why we sit here and the defense has been as bad as they have. It's not just one thing's not working. It's the two most important things that you judge defenses by, for the most part, have not been effective.
Points are the only thing I care about. They're never going to be good against the run. They're dead last right now. I just told you they were 19th last year. The year before that, they were 26th. The year before that, Gold, they were 27th. The year before that, they were 28th. So every single year of Patrick Mahomes' entire existence, the team, the year before that, in 2016, they were 27th. They're bad against the run. They don't know how to coach it, or they don't care to coach it, or whatever it's going to be. They are not good. They have not been they were sixth in the NFL in 2015. It was the last time they were any good at stopping the run at all. They just simply don't have the personnel, if you want to know the answer. They don't have the players to do it. They put their focus on stopping the pass, where they have rated significantly better than the run over the last few years. The problem was last night, what's burned them really, like, and I know it'd be easy to be like, the run defense is the reason they lost that game last night against Lamar Jackson, probably, because that's an offense that focuses on the run. What actually burns them more as a defense over the next 15 games, and why I don't rule out some improvement, is how they do in the pass defense. And what has to stop is the blown coverage for massive plays. Last night, you got Tyrann Mathieu and Sorensen confused, letting up 50-yard bombs to Hollywood Brown. Matter of fact, Hollywood Brown was open the entire night. They blew coverage against him consistently, and then people picked on them in their linebacker core. Nick Bolton got picked on a little bit in the pass defense. Their pass defense will be a much bigger dictator of how good they are as an entire defense this year. All they got to be good in the run defense is occasionally stopping a run inside the red zone.
Yeah, because right now it does have flashbacks to where things were a couple years ago, where, like last night's game, and it's happened a couple times already this year in the two games. I mean, fortunately, the Chiefs got the one stop against Cleveland they needed to, but it's now the feeling like knowing that opponent is going to march down the field. It's like how opponents typically feel against Mahomes, but it's not because their defense is bad. It's because Mahomes is so great, whereas now it doesn't matter whether it's Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield. The way the defense is playing, it does feel like, well, you gave the ball back to them. That team's going to go down and score. And they're 8-for-8 against these teams, or 8-for-8 against the Chiefs in the red zone. I mean, that's the biggest glaring hole for this team right now. It's not even close. And I don't, you and I disagree on that. I don't think how poor they've been is sustainable in a negative way. Like, I don't think it is something where we're going to be sitting here 10 weeks from now and they have the worst rushing defense and they've got, the bottom tier pass defense and they're dead last in sacks. I don't think it's going to be disastrous defense all the way around. But right now, the number one focus has got to be finding a way to at least shore up some of the what we would consider more basic things. And like Andy Reid said it today at noon or last hour when you heard him here only on 610, and that was tackling. He's like, it's more about a mindset than anything else. Because Pete asked a good question. He's like, hey, Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider, he asked to Andy, is this something, now that you don't really have the hard-nosed practices, can you really improve tackling? And Andy's answer was, he said it's a mindset. I took it as, like, guys just got to, it's one of those, like, you kind of just have to get after it a little bit more.
Okay, so they're soft defensively? I don't love that.
Well, I mean, is that correct? But that's kind of how I took the comment. Maybe you didn't. Like, that's kind of how I took it a little bit. And to me, at least, I would like to think that is correctable, more so than maybe they flat out just can't get pressure on the quarterback.
No, I think some of the tackling is want to, and I think sometimes it's just guys missing tackles over and over. Because I don't think Dan Sorensen lacks in want to. That's the one thing I would never question about Sorensen. He sure as hell isn't making tackles right now. This is what Andy Reid had to say about the defense after the game last night.
It's a team effort. When you have the opportunities to tackle, you got to tackle. And I didn't think we did very well with that the first half in particular. Gave up a lot of yards there. So got guys in position, you gotta make the tackle, we gotta make the play, and we gotta do a better job getting off blocks. I mean, that's right now, that's what we've got to take care of. And but again, all that said, you have the ball driving down that last series, what should have been the last series, and we fumbled. So we knew that they're a good run team, so but the guys pushed through and we had ourselves in a position where we could win the game and didn't win it. So we've got to learn from all of this and do better.
they do make those kinds of mistakes, like the you know, the defensive miscues. Those have happened early here, but that hasn't been a staple of their defense. That hasn't been a staple of what they've been, but it's just, it's still so much work to do.
No, there's a massive spot for them. I think also I want to see how Chris Jones bounces back this coming week against the Chargers, because we saw he came up big in week one against Cleveland. And this game, much like most of the defense, like the aggressive nature that typically we see from Chris Jones was isolated because of the playmaking ability of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. He got neutralized.
On those RPOs, and you saw the aggressive nature of Chris Jones kind of be taken out of the game. I thought, you know, people brought up containment on runs last week and how that was an issue with Kando. I thought Frank Clark, actually, that was, again, it's something small, and people don't want to hear it because I get it. You gave up 251 yards rushing. I actually thought that, for Frank Clark, that was his best asset yesterday. Other than that, guy had, what, two pressures and 25 pass rushing snaps to kick off his 2021 campaign. I mean, that's just not good enough.
No, but he's not healthy. Like, I hate to make the excuse for him because I don't think Frank Clark should be given many excuses. I told you, I just want him when he's on the field to be good. So if you're going to play 25 snaps, be better than that. But he's not healthy. He's clearly not healthy. They're only playing him 25%. You know, they're only playing him, what, quarter of the snaps right now, or a third of the snaps right now. And if you're going to be out there for 25 of them, find a way to be effective in 5 of them, I guess, and I'll probably just let it go.
Since it's only week 2, should we get out in front of this now so we don't catch ourselves doing this all season? Like, should we just admit that maybe the reinforcements aren't coming and that this defense isn't going to make massive strides between now and the end of the season, and that it's just going to be a liability because you have below average starters at more than half your positions on that side of the ball?
I would just say all I'm looking for is the moderate. Like, I am no longer entertaining any conversation that says, can the Chiefs be a top 10 defense? Because that's laughable at this point. There's no indication to say they have the talent to support that. All I'm asking for them to be anymore is 17 to 22.
I don't know if that's like
reasonable anymore.
I don't think it is.
Yeah. See, I won't go that far. I disagree with
that. Like, what are you expecting
to
change? Like, what are you expecting to look different in 4 weeks, in 8 weeks than what it looked like yesterday?
Yeah. So this defense clearly is not going to be a top 10 defense in football. We all agree there. I'm not trying to make that case whatsoever, but to say that they're stuck at 29 to 32 and they have no way to get to 20th, I think is insane after 2 weeks. I just think that's nuts. We already see what happens in week one to week two and the overreaction. I think it's a massive overreaction to say they can't get to that. Doesn't mean they're going to be a good defense. I'm not trying to make that case. But the idea that they're stuck at 28 to 32 and they can't get out of it,
I don't think the numbers, the rankings matter that much. It's more so like,
points
is this
matter.
Defense just going to be a liability?
Yeah, yes. They are going to at times be a liability. Yes, they are at times going to be a liability. There's going to be certain aspects of this defense in certain moments where they are going to be up against it more times than not. Yes.
They're allowing the most yards per game in the NFL. And that the Ravens' offense was somewhat limited in their full complement of weapons. I actually feel good. I mean, the one good news is maybe we'll just get the 2018 offense. Like, right? There's some signs that maybe we're just going to get that. Patrick Mahomes has a whole bunch of touchdowns already. They are moving the ball with ease, including moving the ball with ease into field goal range late in that game with a chance to win it. A Clyde fumble's what sealed it, but they were already in Harris and Butker range in two plays, man. Two plays. They had a deep pass to Robinson, deep pass to Pringle. We've seen Kelsey dominate. Tyreek Hill had a 200-yard game in week one. They're getting better protection than they've had in a couple of years already in the early going, especially in that Baltimore game. Maybe not quite as much in Cleveland, one of the better fronts, but, you know, you might be getting 2018 offense with 2018 defense.
And to answer Nick's initial question, which was like, what's going to change, and I think there's now the list is getting slimmer, but there's two or three things that still are out there that can lead to improvement. One is just, if it's truly a mindset on the tackling, I would like to think that that is something that's not going to be horrendous the entire season. The other part is, we've heard from Spags and from Andy Reid about this, Chris Jones continuing to get more and more confident and comfortable at the defensive end spot. I know some people think that, man, after 2 weeks that Chris Jones suddenly should be back to playing on the inside. I disagree with that. Let's not get caught up in just last night's game. He also was very effective when it counted against Cleveland. So I don't think it's time to bail on the Chris Jones defensive end experiment. I think that is a massive overreaction. I think he will get better as a defensive end as the season goes on. I trust people that know way more about football than any of us do when it comes to how long it takes to adjust to playing defensive end in football versus playing in the interior of the defensive line. And then Willie Gay Jr. if it's the speed issue that Cody brings up, and I fully agree with you on the speed stuff with this lack of speed on this defense, Willie Gay Jr. coming back certainly is not going to hurt this defense, right? So
not going to make him slower, that's for sure.
So those are the things that are outstanding. Like, those are the things that are still outstanding that could change it a little bit. That's where I'm at on, okay, what actually can change? Those are the few things that could lead to potential improvement to get them out of this cellar of being dead last as a rushing defense, for example, and get them to where they can just be salvageable.
The problem with the missed tackles is, I was trying to look it up last year where they were. They had 119 missed tackles last season. They would have been 6 teams below them. So they weren't good at tackling last year. Like, my only problem is, like, when you have the same players and the same problems exist, Chiefs can't get to the quarterback, Chiefs can't make a tackle, and they weren't good at those things. Chiefs can't stop anybody in the red zone. And then it's the same general group. I know it's not identical, but same general group of players. And those same problems exist. The talking yourself into improvement becomes harder. I agree with you on Chris Jones. I think Willie Gay makes him faster. But unless they're willing to change a little bit of what they're doing, scheme-wise, they should be a little bit like the Ravens. They should be considering alternate ways to try to get stops right now.
And I'm sure, and it's, you know, it's just 2 weeks in. I think we would realize that Spags. I'm sure these are the very type of conversations as far as what can we do different. Like, what can, if there anything we can do to help generate some more pressure? Do we have the personnel to do it? Number one, but is there anything schematically we can do? Also, how much of it? And I'm not saying the defense is not going to be towards the bottom of the league, but is there anything that relates to the opponents that we've played? Are these related to specifically Cleveland and Baltimore? Sure. Are we really this bad? I don't think they're actually this bad. And so will things change when they get out of the first 5 or 6 weeks of the schedule, which we all said all offseason? It's like, wow, that's a crazy first 5 or 6 games, some really good opponents. So that's my only hesitation on saying, oh my goodness, this defense is what it is. There's no way it's getting any better. Let's see not only as they get another piece back, but also as the schedule changes a little bit, and can they get some, at this point for some guys, even, it sounds silly, but even some confidence, for crying out loud, if we're talking about Juan Thornhill and some others.
I will give you this. It does appear they weren't as bad in 2019 at missed tackle, so I can't just tell you it's a year-in and year-out problem. And somehow in 2018, when they were a miserable defense, there were like 15 teams who missed more tackles than them. So there is at least, well, it's not quite that many, maybe 10. But it's still, it's not quite as bleak as I was making it out to be versus last year, but the unit's the same.
All right, each and every Monday after a week, we like to take a look at the fun that occurred in the NFL, including, Nick, a heck of a play-by-play call in Minneapolis.
Let me show you a little something here. I don't know how this happened, Nick. I don't know what took place in this call. The Vikings, if you don't know, lost the game on a missed field goal at the end of the game. That's not what it sounded like on the Vikings radio call.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone! No, he missed it.
That's no good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what it is. It's like the mid-call part, Gold, that kills me. It's, oh, and the kick is good. Oh, he missed
it.
He missed it.
He'd committed to the make call before he actually knew if the ball went through the uprights.
Oh, man. I mean, that's devastating if you're a Vikings fan.
At least it's like Nick Castellanos. You know, take what you can get.
Well, I mean, yeah, the guy's not going to lose his job over this.
Not everything's Tom Brenneman.
Man,
he said people miss him the other day.
Yeah, I did see
that. He hears that all the time, I'm sure.
That's what he said. That's what he said, Nick. Are you calling Tom Brenneman a liar?
People stop me on... Yeah, well, I mean, I know he's a Christian man. He's a faithful man.
What's the... Have you... Gold, you did play-by-play briefly. You ever screw something up?
Oh, was this a game-winning play screw-up? But, yeah, I mean, there's... Like, anybody that's done play-by-play in high school or whatever, like we have at some point in time, like, yeah, there's... Whether you want to talk about, like, an actual ball was caught and it really wasn't caught, like, on the corner or something like that of the field that you weren't on. Yeah, stuff like that. Every play-by-play guy has made mistakes. I just can't believe that he made that mistake on a game-winning field goal not actually being good.
Only called one buzzer beater in my life. Thank God it was actually in the basket. It wasn't one that caught the bottom of the net from where you were sitting. That was not the only audio that was fun from this weekend. I actually thought this was an awesome tribute. Gold, did you hear this at the stadium last night? the Ravens honoring the late Omar. If it's a little hard.
Unfortunately, the audio doesn't do it justice. But yes. So honestly, my initial reaction to that at the game last night, Cody, was, do they do that? I didn't know if they. I'd never been to Baltimore. So did they do that? Was that
something
they did?
I think that was specifically for him.
I found out, yeah. So yeah, it was because of, unfortunately, the passing. But I didn't know if that was something they did every intro, which, by the way, they should. It just actually fits. Of course, Baltimore, The Wire, for those that aren't picking up on what we're talking
Michael
about.
Michael K. Williams' signature whistle.
And The Wire, like, that was one thing I didn't get to check out. I would have loved to, like, you can actually do, like, little tours of, like, where the show is shot and everything like that. But, no, that was a cool tribute. They should do that before every single game for intros.
Probably.
They're big fans in Baltimore of turning the lights off in the stadium, by the way. That's their thing. They like shutting the lights off at times during the stadium, not just during intros. Like, they just think that pumps up the crowd, and we're going to shine
saving.
Bright lights. Yeah,
energy
yeah,
saving.
That's right. That's
one
right.
More important thing to get to this weekend. Coming into the games on Sunday, Joe Burrow had actually been the current NFL record leader with 199 straight passes without an interception. Unfortunately, one pass went the wrong way.
Crowd trying to make it more difficult now. Burrow throws, intercepted. It is picked off, and on the run is Roquan Smith. Down the sideline, Smith gets a block all the way. The pick six for Roquan Smith.
We know interceptions happen, so that doesn't seem like a big deal. Burrow gets the ball right back the very next pass.
He's not afraid to miss any shots. He's not afraid to throw the next interception. He's ready to rock.
Play action. Good blitz pick up by Mixon, and it's intercepted. Jalen Johnson with the pick.
God, that call doesn't help. If that could not be any worse, the very next pass after that.
Bengals' last three possessions all have ended in turnovers. Back-to-back picks as Burrow will throw on first down. Pressure up the middle. He's hit it. It's a third straight pick.
Unbelievable.
Straight interception. This one for Angelo Blackson.
I just love the play-by-play guy or the color analyst song. You know what? That's what's great about Joe Burrow is he's never afraid to step back up and then throw another one. And here's another pick.
At what point? My goodness. Yeah, and then somehow Cincinnati actually made that, like they still had a chance to win that game despite throwing three straight. Like, it was they lost by three to the Bears. I mean, how do you feel if you're Chicago that you only could win by three and despite having the opposing quarterback have that many mistakes consecutively?
You make your own luck in this league, Alex.
Big deal. What do you mean? Mahomes has never thrown three straight passes, all four interceptions? Maybe in a training camp practice once when people were making a big deal about that.
Who was it last year in training camp that threw five straight picks on five straight passes?
Tua?
Was that Tua? Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Fortunately, they might have been right on that one.
He's hurt right now, too.
We'll he got me 0.53 points in guillotine, so I am close to being cut. But I think it's more you at risk. So, I think you're more at risk than me.
We're going to get to that in the next half hour because, yeah, there's a major sweat happening tonight in our listener guillotine league involving you, me, and one of our listeners as well in terms of depending on how this Monday Night Football game goes could really cause one of us, and me in particular, I think, to get axed in week two of guillotine. Let us up next here on Cody and Gold. This important piece answered the questions that Cody and Nick asked me last week.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one in what's trending, of course, to the Chiefs Monday Night Football loss, as we know, 36-35 to Baltimore. But it's more about what it means going forward for this defense. Is there a fix defensively? And now opponents a perfect 8-for-8 in the red zone against Kansas City. How about 4-of-5 on fourth downs? That's 80%. And 8-of-18 on third downs. So teams in all the key areas where you're saying, oh, those
good.
Typically,
really good
yeah, they're all beating you up pretty good. And so the Chiefs, a rare loss in general, and certainly a rare loss to the Baltimore Ravens. The first one for Patrick Mahomes, as a matter of fact, and a massive win for Baltimore moving forward with all the injuries that they had and the kryptonite talk about the Chiefs being their kryptonite, not from here in Kansas City, but from them themselves admitting it as well. Like, everybody was on the same page. Like, how is Baltimore going to beat Kansas City? Well, they found a way to get it done last night.
You have to beat them at least once in order to do it. I still think that this doesn't mean anything until you beat them in the postseason. Prove you can beat them in a meaningful game. This felt like another game where Kansas City let one get away. versus the occasional time they're chasing a team. Like, people let games get away from Kansas City all the time. They don't let them get away from them very often. The Ravens certainly able to do that last night, trailing by double digits late in the third quarter, still able to get that win. It was a big win for the Ravens. It's a reasonable loss for the Chiefs. It's a road loss in week two against a, you know, top AFC opponent, generally speaking. I know they were a bit hindered by injury, but still, it's not an embarrassing loss by any means. Next up on What's Trending tonight, the Kansas City Monarchs will take on, or will go for the championship in the American Association of Professional Baseball. Worth mentioning, Gold, they're up 2-0 in the series. Home game tonight out at Legends Field, a game tonight at 7. I assume there's still tickets left available for that final. But a local team with a chance for a championship tonight, worth a mention.
Always cool to have a chance, no matter what level it is, to bring a championship to your city, and that's what they have a chance to do tonight. Royals baseball next up on What's Trending this afternoon, a doubleheader right here on 610 Sports Radio. We're going to hand things off to Vern here in about 25 minutes. He'll get you set. Vern's on deck show. They take on the Indians. It'll be Brady Singer, who's just got reinstated today from the IL list, on the bump for Kansas City. In the late game, in game number two, it'll be Daniel Lynch for the Royals. 67-82, and really between the win total, if you were someone that had that, and then Salvador Perez, that's really what you're looking for.
It's going to be a sweat.
Can Salvi get to 50? Need some today. There's two games today. You got to, almost ever since, you got to have one today.
I think so, in order for Salvador Perez to get there. Plus, I'd like to see if Daniel Lynch continues to look good. Bit of a rough start, I think, one of his last two times out, but he's overall shown a lot of improvement as this season has gone on. Next up on What's Trending, Matt Nagy had not himself, but a PR person after their presser today come out to inform the media that Andy Dalton is still their starter if healthy. Now, I'm assuming there's a bit of a miscommunication on what took place in the early part of a presser I did not hear, but it is a weird move, Gold, to send a PR person back out there to be like, hey, just so you're sure, you know, Matt Nagy told me to make sure you knew Andy Dalton is still the starter after he left that game with an ankle injury on Sunday. Just start Justin Fields. And he didn't even look good in that game. He had a ball that he was fumbling around. He threw a pick. I'm not even saying he was great, but it's not like Andy Dalton has ever looked reliable at all. Zach Wilson is out there going 19 for 33 with four picks in that game against the Patriots. Guess what he's doing, though? Playing.
Yeah, there's a long-term benefit, you would think, from that on the Zach Wilson end, whereas Fields, yeah, he only had, what, 60 yards passing and had the mistakes, but it doesn't make any sense to keep rolling Andy Dalton out there. The worst thing that could have happened, though, again, even though he got hurt, was that the Bears won that football game against Cincinnati, because it's another way for Matt Nagy to say, look, we're 1-1. We're 1-1. We had to play the Rams week one. It's just an excuse that they can use going forward until they ultimately, we know, at some point start Fields. Next up on What's Trending, sticking with quarterbacks, there were a ton of injuries in the NFL. Some were more serious than others, but there was a point in time where five starting quarterbacks were out, and three of them had gone to the locker room, including Tua Tagovailoa, who underwent further tests today, according to Tom Pelissero, on the bruised ribs. His understanding, they did not reveal any major issues. X-rays, luckily, were negative. So right now, as far as the Raiders-Dolphins game on Sunday, can he tolerate the pain and mobility? Otherwise, it'll be the Raiders taking on a team without Tua, which the Raiders could be looking at 3-0 either way. Crazy.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for my squad that I'll be looking for a quarterback for a third straight week in guillotine. But it's always nice when a major injury doesn't happen to a quarterback, which means also maybe I could still keep playing Tua. Maybe I won't need a third straight starting quarterback in guillotine, although I'm going to be honest, not super optimistic. That's why I spent so little money on him. I keep getting trade requests for Aaron Rodgers.
Same.
I'm not going to give up Aaron Jones for him. So if you just want cash, we can have a conversation. But if you want, you know, you want something different than that, not so much.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. And yeah, you're referencing Guillotine League, which we'll get to here in about 10 minutes, because tonight there's going to be three teams in particular, including mine and yours and our listener, that are going to be sweating out tonight's Monday Night Football game to determine whether or not we are getting axed. We are both in danger tonight. Nick is not in danger. He's over there feeling pretty good about his team.
Yeah, it's called that, drafting, you know, a good team. You know, it's called football knowledge.
I like my squad outside of quarterback, if that matters.
That's a big problem. Yeah, so do the Chicago Bears. I mean, like, you know, this is typically what happens. So we'll get to Guillotine League in a second. But there was one question or two that both you and Nick had last week, and you know, it had to do with the left tackle spot. And Orlando Brown Jr. last week against Myles Garrett, I had said that I wanted to see more from Orlando Brown Jr. and at the very least see him go up against not the best pass rusher or two in football, but to we can start to really have a fair judgment of what Orlando Brown Jr. can be. And you got to give him a ton of credit for what he did last night. I know, again, as a team, they didn't win, so people like overall probably try to act like they don't care. But that was a good, positive, long-term Orlando Brown's performance. Very, very good against the Baltimore Ravens. And yeah, their front's not Myles Garrett, so it's not saying that he's going to be a dominant left tackle. But he stood up to competition he should absolutely be able to stand up to and look dominant at times. And he did that last night. And I think you have to feel really good about the offensive line two games into this season in the big picture of what they have here and what they built this offseason. And overall, that's going to bode well for this team more than when we talk about some of the other things that are, to me, more short-term issues. Hopefully a long-term solution continues to look better and better with that offensive line than it did last night.
No, that's as, I mean, obviously in two games, but that's as good as the offensive line is, like, not this year, but in a year and a half, mm-hmm. all of last year even. Because last year, I mean, we remember now, but it's hard to go back that far. Mitchell Schwartz wasn't right week one. Like, something was wrong week one. Whatever that back problem was going to pop up, it was popping up immediately. He wasn't the same player right away because he was dominant up until every point of that. He was a dominant right tackle who never let anyone through. But then right after that, they kept suffering injury after injury after injury. Fisher was always there, but everyone else was a revolving door. Tried to bench their center. They were looking for options. Remmers was pretty good at right tackle for majority of that year. But this was the first time that I'm like, wow, they actually won a battle in the trenches. All of last year, I thought they got dominated on the offensive line and dominated on the defensive line pretty much the entire year. In the first game, they lost the battle, both the offensive line and defensive line. Still won the game. They lost the defensive line battle this week. So they just kept getting beaten up in the trenches. This was the one spot in the first two games where they actually won that battle. And Orlando Brown was really good. Orlando Brown Jr. played really well. Trey Smith still likes wrecking people. And I know Creed Humphrey had the one bad snap, but even outside of that, he's not a guy allowing pressures. I feel better about the offensive line. I don't want to see them against a non-elite group, I guess.
Yeah, it checked another box on the progression for the O-line. This was the first road start for three rookies and the first road start for the five offensive line together. I think that was just another benchmark in terms of the progress, in terms of buying in a little bit more to this O-line. What can they be? I think you have to like what you saw, and for the most part, Patrick Mahomes was upright. Was never sacked in the game. There was a few times where he drifted out of the pocket. But overall, offensive line through two games, I think Chiefs fans have to be at least excited about that. The offense, you know, yesterday, I know ultimately they had chances to put the game away, which is very uncharacteristic that they couldn't do that. But the offensive line is certainly not anywhere where people's focus should be on the reasons. It's not on the list at all, on the reasons why this football game went the way it did last night. Now, the focus has been not only on the defense, but the focus has been on the decision for Andy Reid to hand the ball off to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And before we even get into what that says about the thought process maybe Andy was having, Cody, I think it's the fact that you're starting running back. If you're going to be critical of Andy Reid not continuing to pass the football, and I'm not even saying it's invalid.
I would like him to keep passing the football.
Yeah, I'm not going to even say it's invalid. Yeah, but an NFL head coach, a first-round pick running back, second year, game two of year two, you should be able to hand the ball off to him and not have to worry about that happening, a fumble, that is, happening in that game. And I know Andy today at the press conference said he's not a, you know, Clyde's not a fumbler, which, look, that was his first career first career fumble. Unfortunately for Clyde, that's the lasting memory right now that people have of him, and it's going to take some time. It's going to take a heck of a game, a heck of a play in a big-time game for people to not have that be the first thing that comes to mind for him.
It still does point to, because I know that they lost the game. This does reaffirm our thought, right, that a lot has to go right to beat the Chiefs. Like, they had two uncharacteristic late turnovers. Patrick Mahomes throwing a very uncharacteristic turnover, an easy ball, when they were up 11 late in the third quarter, and then Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbling for the, how many time in his career? First. That's all right. First time. First time ever he's fumbled. So it took two very uncharacteristic things late in the game to still get past Kansas City. There's plenty of things that are not uncharacteristic, like their inability to completely stop the run under any circumstances. But, you know, like, it does still take a lot. A lot has to work for you.
So if we're compiling the formula or building the blueprint for beating the Chiefs,
you're telling me that, okay, here's the things that you need. You need to have a historically great rushing performance.
Correct. 250 yards would help. You need your quarterback for 100 of them.
You need your quarterback who is historically efficient at not giving the ball away to give the ball away.
Yes.
And you need your running back who has never done this one thing in his entire career to do that one thing
right.
at a very inopportune time.
Yes, that would be accurate.
Yeah.
Which is why, even though all of us are, you know, upset a little bit today, and Chiefs fans are bummed out, it's a Monday. I haven't had many of these Mondays. It's still big picture. You look at the Chiefs are still one of the best teams in football, still the favorite in the AFC. I don't think that changed.
They're the Vegas favorite still
whatsoever.
In the AFC.
Absolutely, yeah, no, they are, and so that's the one thing to keep in mind here. Doesn't mean that there's not plenty of areas they got to get better. Right, their margin of error might be slimmer if this is what the defense is going to be. Right, the margin goes down drastically. But to Nick's point, it wasn't even like it is all the defense, but also it still took the fumble. To Nick's point, like even as bad as the defense was. They were going to go down, and I'm convinced, win that football game.
Think about that.
We all were convinced they were going to win that football
think
game.
Think about that. Yeah. We could have been sitting here today talking about how the Chiefs won, but man, they gave up 250 rushing yards, so they got to get that shored up. But that's such a different conversation than the one we have to have today.
I know, because we haven't watched them been beaten very often. So when they get beat, you're like, oh, wow, oh, that's of note. Like, if you just lost 5 games a year, it wouldn't be of note every time you lost a football game. But when you're Patrick Mahomes and you've lost, this is now 2 regular season games in his last, like, 26 he's lost. You have to pay attention to that.
And that's why the reaction in Baltimore this morning and last night has been what it's been.
Guys get tattoos on their legs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why you're seeing that kind of reaction. That's why it almost was like a playoff win in the way that it was celebrated by fans, because it's not often that a team beats Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. It's happened only a handful of times the last couple of years. And it's also something that Baltimore fans knew they had to at least prove can happen for them to truly believe their team can get over the hump in the postseason. And I'm with you that they got to still do it in the postseason, but now they know they can win.
They can do it.
They can do that. There's something to be said from a psyche. It's a huge win for them if they play the Chiefs in the postseason to have that in their back pocket. I'm not saying that the Chiefs aren't going to be ultra motivated if that happens, and plenty of reasons why you would still like the Chiefs in a potential game like that, but from a Baltimore end, Baltimore's going to be way more confident than the thought of, well, they're just our kryptonite, which is what Lamar Jackson was saying just last year about the Chiefs.
So, Gold, there are only 3 people who can be eliminated from the Listener Guillotine League tonight. 3. You and I are 2 of those 3 people.
Oh, boy.
So that is not good odds. Oh, God. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, I could be chopped tomorrow. I don't like my odds.
You're getting chopped.
As it sits right now.
Not good.
I am technically behind you in points.
Mm-hmm.
By
3.
A little less than 3. 2.96 points behind you. I have Aaron Jones tonight. If
You're
I could
good.
Just get... Look, man, I thought that about Mark Andrews last week.
I think you're safe.
You're good unless Aaron Jones in warm-ups tweaks a hammy, okay?
It's not like you've had the worst fantasy luck ever to start this season.
But just have 2 quarterbacks who immediately got knocked out of the football game?
Have you even hit 1 total point between your 2 quarterbacks?
1.23, I added it up today, is the total between 2 quarterbacks for 2 weeks combined.
Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua.
Yeah. I started Ryan Fitzpatrick. It went fine for about 3 plays, and they got hurt. And then Tua yesterday, very similar incidents.
Alex is in big, big trouble.
Yes, I'm in massive trouble. Here's the situation. So I'm out of guys. I'm done. My score is my score, unless there's some weird stat correction or something. 73.68 is my points. And, yeah, the team just like, honestly, looking at the team, like, man, this team sucks is the way I'm looking
Nick
at it.
Nick Chubb and A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Those are nice.
Yeah, A.J. Brown and Ryan Tannehill, and actually A.J. Brown, excuse me, would have been Ryan Tannehill and Julio Jones, hooked up for what should have been a touchdown, and that was when I texted you guys the replay review was going to cost me Guillotine League, and I think it is going to end up costing me because I got nobody left, and I need either Aaron Jones to pull a hammy in warm-ups because you're going to get your 2-point whatever. It really is between me and listener Ad Trend Outdoor.
He's the one giving us the billboard, man. I think you need to take the dive.
And he's got 62.38, and I have 73.68. So we're talking about 11 points roughly difference here. And that will come down to Jamal Williams, the running back for the Lions. And there's a lot of controversy, like how much is DeAndre Swift going to play, if how much, and all this. It's not like this truly is a toss-up. He's projected to win by a little less than a point. But Jamal Williams against the Packers, depending on how the game script goes tonight, like if the Packers are killing him, what does that mean for Jamal Williams? It's going to be it's probably going to be a sweat pretty late tonight on this one.
If you could trade places with him and have the 10 and be trailing by 10 points, but with Jamal Williams, would you?
No, I'm gonna take the lead because it's not Aaron. If he had Aaron Jones, I'd feel it. It's still Jamal. Like Jamal Williams is not. It's not a sure thing. Jamal Williams is getting 11 points. I don't feel great, but it's not like one of those impossible ways to hold on.
I'm just like it would make perfect sense that Aaron my Jones team last would be eliminated. Scratch. Yeah, it makes perfect sense that although I seem the safest out of the three of us, that somehow Aaron Jones would be my demise tonight.
Because Jamal Williams last week for the Lions had, what, 9 carries, 54 yards, and a touchdown, which I believe would
That'd be enough to beat you.
Would be enough, yeah. You get, I don't know, in our league, what, 4 points for a touchdown and then 50 yards. It would have been barely enough, I think, actually.
Yeah, but I think it would have been enough, but barely. Did he have a single catch? Because if he had a single catch,
sure.
then it's consensus, you know,
sure.
the PPR aspect.
That's the key. Yeah, that's the key. So it'll be a fun watch. It's also Survivor League. So you pick Cleveland, right?
Cody's I'm good. Right.
And Nick, you guys, that's right. You guys
we both
tagged,
pick Cleveland.
Both
Alliance.
Are, I don't know.
Team up.
Let's go.
I'll let you guys both pick the same teams next week, too. I have Green Bay tonight
I like the
against
the Panthers
against
Thursday
the Detroit
night,
Lions.
Cody. Let's talk after the show.
Okay. We're Team Coke. That's our name. That's a combination of Cody and Nick.
Team Coke?
You could have other implications based off things the text line has said in the past.
Team Coke? We already went down this road in your Sean McVay comments. We don't need to go back there
And
anymore.
The text line is convinced that I am a avid Coke user.
I mean,
Team
just...
Nitty didn't sound as good. Team Coke was better.
Yeah.
And Schwartz doesn't combine with any name.
No.
Yeah, you're struck out. Doesn't. Text line says, good thing you guys didn't share a team. Tried to tell you guys, should have been a team together. Well, then we'd both be out possibly tonight.
Yeah,
so.
Then we'd both be eliminated.
Yeah, and that, I don't, again, you guys do not understand how funny that would be to everybody else.
To everybody else, yeah. To everybody else.
Once again, it's all about you. All about you guys, your guys' names on the show.
It's Cody N. Gold.
That's
we're gonna
right.
Add in. We're just going to add an N to it. That'll be for you. Cody N. Gold. Mm-hmm.
That's super hip.
Good luck
too.
Tonight, man. I hope it's not me. I'd rather it be you than me. But
hey, look, you know what? All I'm looking for at this point in time is to actually get back to Kansas City on time. All right, I have a connecting flight in Chicago. After our last travel stories, I think we're hopefully going to make it through this time. Hope so, man. I hope that's the case. We are done for the day. Back at it tomorrow. Hopefully all three of us will be in studio. We'll be good to go talking some more Chiefs football. Coming up next, the Royals baseball. Vern's got a doubleheader for you. He gets it all started with Vern's On Deck show right here on your own for the Royals, 610 Sports Radio.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.